Amen. Well, we're continuing in what we've been talking about for the last, 4 weeks now. This is part four of our series, Being Led by the Spirit. How many of you gotten something out of this? How many of you know that you are a spirit and you can be led by the Spirit according to that inner witness that you have in your heart? We talked about that. The part one was inner witness. Then we talked about following peace. Last week, can anybody tell me what we talked about last week? Who the helper is? Knowing the helper. And, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that, especially in Christian, they're waiting for God to do more and more and more for them. Well, you know, when you're a spiritual baby, when you're first born again, He will do a lot more things for you. But when you grow up, there comes a time when a kid grows up, and after the sincere milk of the word that we've had, then you need some stronger meat. Why? So that you can get out and be and do who God made you to be, and you can mature from childhood to sonship. It says, as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, and then it says two verses later, it says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you won't remain a child too much longer. Yeah. You'll mature into sonship. Galatians goes into that really pretty thoroughly about the difference between a child and a son. He's an heir, but until such time that he is able to handle some things, he's led by tutors, and they instruct him. Well, who's our tutor? Who's our teacher? The Holy Spirit. And as He teaches us and teaches, we go from childhood to sonship, and we start to carry some of the delegated responsibility that's in His Word that we can appropriate, and we have every right to expect for His Word to deliver for us. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to be talking about the language of the Spirit. And I know that many of you, especially if you're Spirit-filled, I don't know if you all are Spirit-filled, speaking with tongues, but most of us immediately go, when we hear language of the Spirit, we immediately go to tongues. And that's true, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. It's a lot more than that. Tongues is something that our spirit is an exercise of, is a language of our human spirit. I heard a thud. Tongues is the language of the human spirit until such a time that the Holy Spirit takes over and starts gifting things to you through it. Then it becomes a heavenly language. Amen? Amen? So, tongues really acclimates us to the place where we understand the language of God and the Spirit a lot better. It opens a door. Language of just an impression, something that seems good to you, something that God is speaking to you. God can speak to you in words, but very seldom. There's only twice in my life I've heard the audible voice of God. Once is when I first saw her. And it was 8 years before that I heard another voice, the same voice, but he said something a little different. Anyhow, but the rest of the time it's been impressions, intuitions, things that he has moved me to do, impressed on me to do, led me to do, bade me, invited me to do. I mean, he's really a good comforter and leader. And when we follow him, we can be absolutely sure that he'll lead us into green pastures and pure waters. You know, if you read through into the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit was real to them. He led them here. He spoke this to them. He bade them. He spoke to them in dreams and visions and so forth. He was very real to them. I suggest read the book of Acts over and over and over. In our Bible study, we went through the entire book of Acts. And I'm telling you, every time I go through it, I learn so much more. Every single time. It says the Spirit spoke to them, the Spirit bade them, the Spirit moved upon them, the Spirit led them. You know, you can be led by the Spirit. I remember the first moment that I realized that I'm a spirit, the Holy Spirit can lead me, and I have that inner witness, I'll tell you what, I felt like the guy who had the golden goose, or the goose that laid the golden eggs, rather. So, you know, if I can be led by the Spirit, I'll be led into victory. I'll be led into power and strength. I'll be led into him. There's nothing that can defeat me if I'm led by the Spirit. And when all that in like 1 second, I got the, whoa, wow. That's the language of the Spirit. Let that just sit there for a minute. That's the language of the Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 8, you don't turn there because I didn't put these in. I'm just going to read these to you. Acts chapter 8, 29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. That was the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, remember the sheet that came down? And three times, and the Spirit said, rise and eat. And he says, no, I'm not going to eat any of those. Those are unclean. And he said, three times, he said, don't call common what I've called clean. He was preparing Peter for the fact that the gospel was going to be preached to the Gentiles. And it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, there's three guys downstairs waiting for you. Go with them, nothing doubting. And for I have sent them. Acts 11, Peter relating this story because they were calling this into question. These are Gentiles. You went into their house. That wasn't legal for a Jew to do. And the Spirit bade me go with them, he said, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Acts 13, 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called to them. Acts 16, 6, now when they had gone through Phrygia and the regions of Galatia, the Spirit forbade, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's Turkey now. It's called a little different back then. They were forbidden. You know, there's certain things when the Lord is leading you, don't do this, do this. Go here, don't go there. He knows who's going to receive the message and who won't. He knows where you're needed the most, and he'll lead you there. Wisdom cuts through like a sharp axe. And wisdom is following the Holy Spirit. Amen? Then, Acts 16, 9, the vision appeared to Paul in the night. This is a dream from the Holy Spirit that he gave him. He saw a man in Macedonia praying, asking him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So immediately they got going and started doing it. The Holy Spirit said, go here, go there, don't go here, don't go there, visit here, don't there. Ananias, a guy named Ananias living in Damascus, the Holy Spirit said, go to Straight Street and you'll find this guy named Saul of Tarsus. Go lay hands on him. And he said, no. This guy is a killer. He kills us, you know. He spends all his time sharpening up his knives for us. You know, he says, go. He's a chosen vessel for me. And that peace just was transferred into an Ananias spirit. And so think of this. Think of the connections that were made there. Think of what's going through Saul of Tarsus's mind. And all of a sudden, a guy comes into the room. He says, Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road. And he told him what, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And the scales fell because he was blinded from the light that he saw. And he ministered to him. Saul of Tarsus is sitting there saying, this guy's coming. Jesus appeared to me in the road. Jesus is now sending him. I'm in a connected network here. You know something? When you're with the Holy Spirit, you're in a very connected network. You're in a very organized system called the Kingdom of God. And it will not be defeated. And you have the keys of the kingdom of God, Jesus said. Didn't he? Well, we need to know what the language of the Spirit is. You know, before I said something, I said that many people think that the helper is the do-it-for-you-er. There's in Acts 8, 28, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. It says, the Spirit helps our infirmities. That word is a string of Greek words all put together in a compound Greek word. So, sun antilumbanomo No, I'm sorry. It's sun enti labanamai. And it's what it means is take hold together with against. The Holy Spirit will take hold with us, together with us, against our infirmity. Like I said, you can't steer a parked car. The Holy Spirit is a helper. But we need to take the initiative to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we'll walk in deception thinking we're okay because we know the word. No, knowing and doing are two different things. Right. It takes faith to do the word. And that faith is, that's when faith comes alive in you. Right. That's when the Holy Spirit jumps all over that when you start speaking that word in faith. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Is the Holy Spirit real to you?
Yes.
Is he still the same Holy Spirit he was then?
Yes.
Does he still speak the same way?
Yes.
Does he lead? Did he lead them and guide them?
Yes.
Does he lead and guide you?
Yes.
He will. Did he instruct them?
Yes.
Yes. Are we part of the same church?
Yes.
Do we have the same Lord?
Yes.
Oh, has the church become something less now that John the Apostle died?
No.
He was the last apostle to die, and they say the age of the apostles, that's when the miracles were, as if God's power depended on them. That's a stretch. that's a real stretch. Why did Jesus spend 3 chapters in the Last Supper talking about the Holy Spirit if it was just going to disappear and evaporate when those guys died? Why did he spend all the gifts of the Spirit and all that? Why did he all the New Testament in there if it was just for a short time? There's a lot of Bible real estate that he took up for something that was just going to last a few years.
Right.
No, he's the same Holy Spirit. There's only one. That's a revelation that I got when I was questioning, is the Holy Spirit, because they're telling me, no, the age of miracles is done. We have the full revelation of God now. But they forget that the guy who had wrote about this full revelation needed those gifts of the Spirit, and Paul, he moved in those gifts. So, their arguments just fall apart it's a house of cards. But the Spirit of God. And I said to my brother, I said, you know something? There's only one Holy Spirit, right? Well, if I've got the same Holy Spirit that they had, then I ought to have the same things. And it wasn't long after that, I woke up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. Oh, it was just great. And that was a peaceful night. It just kept on flowing and flowing and flowing. Good stuff. But the Bible talks about leading, guiding, having an inner witness, impressions. Paul was pressed in the Spirit to do so. That's an old King James saying, he had an impression. Intuitions, which is a knowing. Sometimes the Spirit of God just makes you to know something. And it's not a language of men that you hear with these things. No, it's a language of the Spirit that he just makes you to know something. And it's instant. So turn with me as we prepare for our weekly confession. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And remember that the spirit of faith has two components. One is to believe and the other is to speak. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. We have such a gift in the word of God. Oh, thank God for it. You know how many people died to get us this word?
Right.
Willing to, they gave up their lives long before they actually did give up their life. And they were walking in the freedom of that. Oh, glory to God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, let's start there. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Say that. He's prepared. Things for me. They're already prepared. What's prepared? Well, the things that haven't, our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't, and haven't entered into our heart. Most people stop right there. Most Christians stop. Most spirit-filled Christians, most preachers stop right there. Let me get a little closer to home. Most word of faith preachers sometimes stop there, but don't stop there. It says, verse 10, but he has revealed them. What's them? The things that eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has deep things to share with you, to show you, to reveal to you. Deep things. You know, as deep as our oceans are, God's deeper than that. You can get lost in him. Actually, that's pretty hard to do because he found you. You're found. Yeah, verse 11. For what man knows the things of man save the spirit of man that is in him? He's saying, look, you know all about you. And there are things about you that you don't even know that God knows. But even so, nobody knows you except you. This is how open God is being with us. He's showing us the deep things of himself. Now we, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, freely. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach. We're getting into the language of the Spirit right here. Not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Ghost comparing spiritual things with spiritual. A better way of putting that would be combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. We're making a connection here with the Spirit of faith. The Spirit, the language of the Spirit. Verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually concerned, discerned, or understood. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Do you see that verse? But we have what? The mind of Christ. Remember in Isaiah it said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, for as the heavens are higher than yours, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. Enter Jesus. Come into your life. All of a sudden, his thoughts, you're able to think his thoughts, the way he thinks. The way, you can talk the way he talks. I became very aware, it was later in my Christian life that I became aware of the fact, I mean, I'd heard it, but it really didn't register on my spirit, that I was a spirit and that I could be led by the Spirit, by the inner witness. And that the Spirit of God was sent to reveal those things to me that God had already prepared that haven't entered into my eyes, my ears, or my heart. But they could be revealed to me, that he was sent to reveal those things to me. Now the question is, how does that happen? How do I get to see those things, understand those things, hear those things I haven't heard before, have my heart filled with the knowledge and those things that he has planned for me? How does that happen? You know, I'll get to that in a minute. But the closer that I walk with God, and believe me, I have my ups and downs just like anybody else. I used to think I was perfect. God brought me down a few notches. you see what I mean? But you're no different. And there are some times that we think we just got it all together. And God goes, don't go there. That didn't work out too good for Lucifer. Don't get out there. You need him. You need to be led by him. You were born with a leader. Somebody, you were born, you'll be either led by the world or led by God. You'll be either led by the word of God or the lies of the devil, but you're going to be led by something. Bob Dylan even said that. You're going to serve somebody. Bob Dylan and the Lord are kind of two ships in the night. But I believe he's saved. I believe God redeemed his spirit, whether he's walking in it or not. He's missing out on all of the earthly blessings here. But that man was born to be a worship leader. He was born to be a preacher. And he just needs to get around the right people. He got saved after he was a big celebrity and came out with that album. It was a Christian album. This is back in the 70s. And I think the church doesn't know how to treat a celebrity. And the thing is, they expected him to be perfect,
right.
Like a 50-year-old Christian when he was less than one. And he hadn't grown to mature, and the pressure just got to him. So, anyhow, pray if you're walking through a shopping store or whatever, and you hear a song by Bob Dylan, pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for them all, but especially that, he's your brother. But the closer I walk with God, the more I understand how little I really do know about him. How about you? Brother Hagin used to say that, the more I know I don't know.
Yeah.
And really, that's a good place to be. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, actually. But I've come to understand something very valuable, is when I'm looking through the Bible and I'm reading the scriptures and I'm what it's saying to me, I also glean a lot of value and some really good lessons by what it doesn't say. You ever notice that? It's like these gaping holes, and the Holy Spirit will ask me, why do you think that didn't happen? Or why do you think that he didn't say this? Why do you think they didn't say this? When he was at the Last Supper, talking about the blood and the body and everything, this is my body. Their silence is deafening. They knew what he was talking about. They knew something called Hasid, which was something they grew up with. Hasid, love of God, that was a covenant love. They knew what he was talking about. They just didn't know how it was going to happen. But what the Bible doesn't say, have you ever noticed the most impressive thing about Jesus? You can read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we are never given a physical description of Jesus in the Gospels. Have you ever noticed that? The most impressive thing about Jesus was his words. His words. His words were amazing. In fact, in John 7:32, it says that the Pharisees and the chief priests sent soldiers to arrest Jesus while he was teaching in the temple and bring him before the Sanhedrin. And they came back empty-handed. And they said, why haven't you brought him? You know what they said? Look at John 7:46. Here's what they said. No, John 7. And the officers answered, never man spake like this man. They couldn't even arrest him. These were officers that were sent by the chief priests and Pharisees, who were basically the law as far as any Jew was concerned back then. They were the law. And they heard him speak and they couldn't even arrest him. They had the authority from on high to arrest him and bring him before and they couldn't do it. And they said, why? Because no one ever talked like this man. So what does that tell you? The language of the Spirit is not a language of man. It is the language of God and the kingdom of God. It is not the language of man or this world. That's why the world can't understand it. The world can't understand why you're a Christian. All they look at it is like a really? What are you, God's whipping boy or something? That's the way they look at it. And they feel sorry for you. I remember because people used to witness to me when I was an atheist, and I felt sorry for them. I was ready to give them money or something because I really felt sorry for them. I looked at Christians as poor, broke, a day late, dollar short, ragged clothes, da-da-da. That was my picture of Christians because in the 70s, that's the way a lot of Christians were. They had no idea how God wanted them to prosper, how God wanted to, you know, meet all of their needs according to his riches and glory. This is the word of God. Now, I know that that's been taken overboard, too. There's been extremes to that. And there have been tremendous abuses, people using the gospel to get rich and lavish lifestyles and limousine and all these things. You know what? They already have their reward. But to me, the fun is being in having that need and knowing that God will meet it and wondering how he's going to do it and just being surprised. To me, that's the life of faith. When Oral Roberts retired from being the president of Oral Roberts University, his board of directors came to him and said, we have this package for you. And, you know, this retirement package will give you this income and so forth for the rest of your life. And he looked at him, he says, that will destroy my faith. I don't want that. What he wanted to do was live by faith. And he said, I'm not going to take that. It was a really nice package. And he said, no, I'm not going to take it. Well, he moved out to California. And before you know it, he had more speaking engagements that would have lasted him until 2 weeks over into the millennium. He, and money was just coming in hand and fist. God honored that choice. Yeah. Why? Because he chose faith. Right. He didn't choose the easy way out, like a Lot saying, yeah, I'll take Sodom, you know. God gives you a choice, and when you make the right one, he's right there with you. If you were a cat, you'd just purr sometimes. The language of the Spirit is not the language of man, doesn't meet the logic of man, doesn't meet the expectations of man. You know, most of what man believes is a lie anyway. They do things for the wrong purposes because they believe that'll make them happy. If I had this, I'll be happy. If I do this, I'll be happy. No, those things can't make you happy. Besides, happiness comes and goes. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That's powerful stuff. We should just spend time every morning just preparing our heart to receive those things that have not entered into our eyes, our ears, or our hearts, and to spend time praying in tongues because it will acclimate you to the language of the Spirit.
Amen.
It'll tune you, it'll give you a tune-up. it'll just tweak you. And you say, oh, yeah. And then the things that come your way, you say, and you'd be surprised how you could filter everything. I remember Keith Moore saying, you know, I've been meditating on the word, nothing happens. He says, then I'll be looking at a billboard of a hot dog and get so much revelation because all of a sudden everything I was meditating on came to pass or just came up and I got revelation. Good stuff. But God works with you that way. Sometimes it takes a while just to build up in your heart. And you got to get it full to the brim. Fill the water pots with water. They fill them to the brim. See, when you're filled with the word, the washing of the water by the word, when you're filled with the word up to the brim, that's when miracles start happening. Then you are way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, you are in my life. Spend time acclimating to the language of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us, leads us through the language of the Spirit. Nature, this earth, the life systems of the earth, whether they're plant life, animal life, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, everything that creeps on the earth, and even your physical body, knows and responds to the language of the Spirit. Do this. If there's a problem, say, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes, I was healed. I am healed. Say that. I am healed. Say it again. I am healed. Say it once more. I am healed. Every cell in your body just lined up to accommodate that word. And if you keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and keep saying it and let that be your confession, pretty soon your body will quit and just give over to the healing that's filled your mouth with. And when you speak it, it goes down in your heart and it starts to grow. I don't know how, it just does. I can't take all the elements apart from water, but I know I don't have to. My body does that. When I speak the word, I don't know how. I don't have to know how it works. I just know that it works, and that if I speak the word and believe it in my heart and say it with my mouth, that mountain that's in my body, that storm that's in my head is going to cease. It's going to obey the word. And the devil will test you, and he'll say, yeah, you believe. Who are you? I'll tell you who I am. I'm a son of the living God. What I say comes to pass because he told me to say it, and he can't lie. What he says is true regardless of what I feel, what I see, what I hear. And I'm going to stay with the truth. I'm going to keep agreeing with the truth. And when you agree with what is forever settled in heaven, when you release it here in the earth, your body's going to respond. The earth will respond. Storms will disappear. Mountains will move. Nature, everything was created by the word of God. Listen to me. This came to me one time when I was in the shower, and it just, I get a lot of revelation in a shower. But everything was created by the word, including your body. He made the dust of the earth through his word, and he made that, right? And he spoke to it and said, live. The breath of his life was in his word, live. Everything was created by the word, therefore everything is subject to the word. Right. It is the highest authority. That's your body, that's your mind, that's your emotions, that's addictions, that's everything. It has to obey the word. It cannot not obey the word. It has to obey the word. Just like fallen angels have to obey the word because they have to hearken unto the voice of the word. We are that voice. They have to leave. Go! Did I wake you up? Sometimes it just, sorry. But get animated about these things. This is the language of the Spirit. No man ever spoke like this man. Everyone, just take your Bible for a second. Just do this. Lift it up. Wave it. Make Jesus glad and the devil mad. See that? No man ever spake like this man. Guess what? You have the same word.
Right. Amen.
I rest my case. The defense rests. Let's go on to the next thing. The language of the Holy Spirit is not the language of man or this world. It is the language of God. The second thing is the language of the Holy Spirit is peaceable, easily entreated. Seems good. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. It says, this is Dr. Luke. Luke was a physician. You know, he traveled with Paul. And I believe that he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts as putting together Paul's defense when he was going to stand before Nero. That's why I believe it was written. And I believe that's why the book of Acts has no end to it. It's because Paul, they finally just beheaded him, and that was that. So he stopped writing. He didn't need the defense anymore. But here's the thing. In Luke chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them to us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus." I believe Theophilus was a magistrate. We don't know, but I think it was some kind of a magistrate that would relay this information to the courts on Paul's behalf, that you might know of certainty the things. Now, how many of you would say that writing one of the four Gospels in the Bible was a tremendous honor, would produce a harvest that would last through eternity? I don't know what God has for us. Maybe Luke will be running galaxies. I don't know. Maybe he has planets named Luke. Who knows? But it's got to be a tremendous honor. And if Luke were standing here right now, and you said, you know, he is still alive. You know that, right? He lives in heaven, but he's more alive than you are right now. He said, "Dr. Luke, how is it that you came to write the Gospel of Luke? How is it that, what did God say to you? I mean, did an angel say, 'Thou shalt write, yea, the Gospel of Luke, and for 2,000 years it will stand as a testimony to my son'?" Did Luke, how did it happen? He said, "I told you right in the third verse of the first chapter how it happened." How did it happen? It seemed good. Sometimes just something seeming good can be a lead from the Holy Spirit that will last forever. These are the intuitions of the Spirit. Don't pass them up. When somebody in the store that you see is sad or something, and you say, "Well, go pray for them." Well, they made their bed. They can lie in it. Did the Holy Spirit ever tell you to do stuff like that? Or somebody is having a bad day and you can just tell, you say, "You know what, I see you're having a, can I pray for you?" What? Well, here, try this one. Acclimate yourself to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to the language of the Spirit. He always moves in the way of redemption. He always moves in forgiveness. He always moves in mercy. That's the way he's always leading. It's the language of the Spirit. And it seemed good. It just seemed good. You have a seamer. You have a seamer. And God wants to inhabit that seamer with something that seems good. Luke is still getting harvests from people reading and getting liberated on his stuff, on the life of Jesus. So, number one, the language of the Holy Spirit is not the language of man or the world. It is the language of God and the kingdom of God. You have been translated into his kingdom, and you have been delivered from the power of darkness, the Bible says. So we can't be operating in man's world according to man's rules and operate in the kingdom at the same time. No, you're in the kingdom of God. Operate according to the principles of the kingdom of God. And number two, the language of the Spirit is peaceable. It seems good. It brings peace. You know, in the book of Acts, I got to hurry because time's slipping away here and eyes are glazing over. But but Acts chapter 15, there was a big summit in Jerusalem, and people were concerned. You had Paul and Barnabas preaching the gospel, people getting saved. There was miracles. There was healing done. There was gifts of the Spirit. You know, it was all going really nicely. And what happened is these guys who were zealous of the Old Testament law, called the Judaizers, were coming in behind them and saying, "Yeah, you can be saved, by Jesus, but you have to obey the law. You have to be circumcised, number one. You have to be and you have to obey the law. You have to the feasts and all that, and you have to be a tithe. You can't not tithe. You have to. And so there was this legalism that was following them around, and what they were saying sounded good. It sounded right. And so what do we do? Well, they had a meeting in Jerusalem. Now, the elder of Jerusalem was James. He was half-brother to the Lord. And he grew up with Jesus. He saw that when the world was going this way, Jesus was going the other way. He saw the wisdom of God operating in his brother's life. And you know what? He looked at that wisdom and said, "You're a lunatic." He called Jesus a lunatic. But yet, when Jesus rose from the dead, James said, "Wow, my brother was God." Somebody ought to write a book about that. My brother was God. Well, he got saved. Now he became the elder of Jerusalem. And church tradition, this is in the Bible, said that he had camel knees. He had knees like a camel because he spent most of his life on his knees just before the Lord. Man of prayer, but they came together. Now, they were started arguing. It says in Acts chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to the men and brethren, 'You know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the hearts, bore them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit the same way he did us.'" Remember Cornelius' house? The Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in tongues. He said, look, and verse 9 says, "He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt God and put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved too, even as they." Then the multitude kept silence. You see what's happening here? Peter's speaking the word of God, and the word of God is settling. He's talking. There was a spirit that the language of the Spirit was rising up and being released through him. And God, the Holy Spirit, was settling this whole argument. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring confusion. He doesn't bring questions. He answers questions, and he settles all confusion with peace. Amen? And he'll give peace to your heart. James wrote later. He said in James 3:17, he said, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easily entreated," easy to be entreated. It's easy to receive. They received this. And in Acts chapter 15, verse 25, there was no committee, no vote, no nothing. They just stood up. The word settled it. The Spirit settled it. There was no steering committee, no board of directors, no nothing. You know, there was no vote. Oh, spare us. So the Holy Spirit settled the whole thing. What do you say in Acts 15? We have that, John 25? "And it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send the chosen men unto you with a..." He's writing a letter. And let me just go. Verse 28 as well says this. I didn't give you that, John. "And it seemed good to us, to the Holy Ghost, and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these things necessary." And then he listed some things that are conscience things. That'll help you with your conscience. But as far as that, but your conscience can't save you. In fact, your conscience wouldn't bother you if you weren't saved. So, so the wisdom from, it seemed good. It seemed good. You have a seemer. And if something seems good to do, then do it. Then the third thing is this, and I'll be quick. Go to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 6, it says, "Be strong and have a good courage." Then in verse 7, Be strong and of a good courage. Then in verse 9, haven't I commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Verse 18. Whoever rebels against your commandment and will not hearken to your words, this is God speaking to Joshua, in all the command, he shall be put to death. Only you be strong. Be strong. Be strong. The Holy Spirit, the language of the Holy Spirit will strengthen you. In the New Testament, what did he say in Ephesians 6:10? Be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That word might is dunamis. It's miracle working. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his miracle working power. Be strong in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 14, it'll tell you. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be what? Strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. Spirit is a spirit of strength. How does that happen? Does it happen just because you got saved or you have the Holy Spirit and you speak in tongues? No. It's by exercising your spirit. How do you do that? Speaking in tongues. Acclimating to the language of the Spirit, speaking what God speaks, speaking what God speaks, praying in tongues, building, you're edifying yourself, you're building an edifice on the inside of you, and you're being strengthened with might. Miracle working power. The more you pray in tongues, the more miracles you're going to see. The more supernatural power in your life you're going to see. This is the language of the Spirit. It's strengthened. It's not the language of man. It doesn't quit when things get hard like men do. It doesn't fit logic of men. It doesn't fit men's reasoning. Water pots with water. I thought we needed wine. It doesn't make sense. But if you do it, miracles will happen. Provisions will come. It'll all happen. It's not the language of man. It's the language of God. Number two, it's peaceable. It'll settle all issues. You won't have any questions. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I do this? No. It'll settle. It'll bring peace into your life. And the language of the Spirit is a strengthening language. It will strengthen you with his might and with his power. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord.